The Star Sport podcast is brought to you by Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union, funding dreams for over 50 years.
Close your eyes and pull like a dog.
And a new Irish record for Phil Healy, 22.99.
Christy Cooney hands over the Sam Maguire Cup to Graham Canty, Cork All-Ireland champions for the seventh time ever.
Hello and welcome to the Star Sport podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Mangan, and I'm joined, as always, by Star Sport editor Kieran McCarthy. The Star Sport podcast is brought to you in association with our friends at Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union, where your bank really does matter. Choose credit union, choose local, choose community. Now, our guest on this week's podcast is the Ballineen Bullet, Phil Healy, who is part of an Irish women's 4x400 relay team who finished fifth at the World Indoor Championships last weekend. Healy is joining us later on to chat about her performance and a big year ahead in athletics. But first, Kieran, in this week's Southern Star, we have a very special 8-page feature profiling some of West Cork's finest young athletes across a variety of sports. So what can readers look forward to in that one?
Yeah, Dylan, this is one of my favourite issues of the year, my favourite editions. It's our next generation edition, like you said, an 8-page special in the middle of this week's Southern Star Sports section, where we're looking at 32 of the brightest young sports stars in West Cork. And why I enjoy this feature so much is that it unearths a load of new sports people every year, kind of just to put them on our radar. So On the podcast, our regular listeners will know I'm like a broken record when I say West Cork sport. There's not a region like it across the country. And I think a feature like this just highlights that even more, because there's just such an incredible next generation of talent on the way up. So the criteria for this is they're 21 or under. And from my own, just thinking back from writing it, I don't think any of them are even 21. It was all like 20 and under. So just to give a quick tease of kind of the sport and talents we're talking about, there's a basketballer who goes to school in Clonoch, the Pubble Bantry, Clodagh Downey, who's with Brunel. Like, she's a rising star in basketball. We have a young fella from Bandon, Evan Deasy's his name, who's playing with Cove Ramblers under-17s, and he's a young fella to watch. Someone like Sean Lawton from Durris Athletic Club, who was just recently crowned the Munster Senior Schools champion, and he's going into the All-Irelands this weekend. There's Olin O'Donovan from Barry Row, the young footballer. Owen O'Callaghan from Bandon Athletic Club. It's just, there's so many different young sports people here, from road boating to boxing to rowing to basketball to rugby to soccer to Gaelic football to motorsport, athletics, you name it. We have it in this feature, so it really is well worth checking out. And because the odds are, Dylan, when you pick up Thursday's Southern Star, you're going to know one of these young sports people.
Yeah, I was going to point that out. Like, even if you do know one or two of them, there's bound to be someone in there that you don't know about as well, which I think is the incredible thing. You mentioned the ages there of a lot of people featured, obviously 20 and under, but there's 14-year-old in there. There's a 15-year-old. So like, these are truly the next generation, in the sense that they're still developing. And the fact that we can find 32 talented sports people under the age of 20, like you're saying, or 20 or younger, is incredible. And also across such a variety of sports too.
That's exactly it. We've settled on 32, but the reality is it could be much more than that. Like, it's become a situation over the years where I'm whittling it down to 32, you know, kind of. We could easily have stretched it even bigger this year. And again, that's just a testament to the quality of the young sports people in West Cork. And like I said, it's across all different sports. And when you read the profiles of all these young sports people, you'll actually see that they've achieved an awful lot already. Take young Con Desmond, he's the boxer out in Bantry. He's only 14 and he's already won four county titles, four Munster titles, and he's been in two All-Ireland finals. So you're talking about that quality of young sports person, and that's kind of replicated right across the different sports. And it just shows how much these young sports people are achieving that I had the bulk of the work, I suppose, done before the weekend. When I landed in on Monday morning, I had to start updating some of the profiles, because even in the weekend just gone, some of them had achieved more and just adding to it. So it's very much kind of a very live story with these young sports people. And just to highlight too, like, this is the very start of their journeys. Like, they're kind of, it's called the next generation for a reason. Like, they're going to be carrying the torch for West Cork sport for the next 10, 15, 20 years. And if any of our listeners want an idea of just how good these young sports people are, just go onto our website and look at last year's list. And if you actually go down through that, a lot of those names will resonate with you, because you know, oh, this person achieved that, this person achieved that. Like, they've all gone on to achieve great things in the last year. And in the profiles, we highlight what they've achieved so far, what they plan to achieve, and what their hopes and goals are for the season. So it's just really good content. It's really good West Cork content. And it's another reason for people from this region to kind of puff their chest out and be very proud of sport in this neck of the woods, because like I keep saying, it's a region like no other.
Yeah, and what we'll do as well for listeners is we'll have a link to last year's Next Generation from 2023 in the description of the podcast in the article. So you can go and give that a read as well. We won't give too much more away, Kieran, but it's definitely a must buy for any West Cork sports fan this week, I would say. So looking forward to that being released tomorrow. Moving on, 2 weeks ago, Kieran, Cork steadied the ship with victory over Fermanagh. Last weekend, they maybe got back on track with a good win over fellow strugglers. I'm mixing my sporting cliches here, but I guess the main point is that things are now looking a lot more positive for John Cleary and Cork.
100%. It's amazing what a couple of wins can do. It changes the mood music, and all of a sudden there's a bit of optimism around the Cork footballers again. But I suppose almost to borrow kind of, it's like a sporting cliche, like the highs are never that high and the lows are never that low. So while Cork have won their last two games against Fermanagh and against Kildare, like, that doesn't necessarily mean that all is right in the world of the Cork footballers. Like, there's still a good bit for these lads to go to get to where they want to be, because, okay, now they put themselves in a good position to avoid relegation to Division 3. So won those back-to-back games against Fermanagh and against Kildare. But rewind to the start of the league, where John Cleary said that the goal was promotion to Division 1. That's what the Cork footballers wanted. So they're not going to get that this year. So you have to, I think you have to measure this league campaign off what the goal and target was. So if Cork's target was promotion to Division 1, they're not going to get that. So the league cannot be a success off the back of that. So it's really damage limitation at this stage. And by damage limitation, that's avoiding relegation to Division 3 and also qualifying for the Sam Maguire Cup. And the two wins in a row give Cork a good chance of doing that. Aren't out of the woods just yet. There's a tough game against Meath the weekend after this, and then a home game against Armagh to come. So Cork probably still need one win there. You would think to safeguard their position, but you think they could probably get it as well. Looking at the win against Kildare, yeah, good result, but the first half wasn't great. You know, Cork turned it on in the second half, probably their best half of football in the league so far. Conor Carver got a super goal. Brian O'Driscoll had a great match. Colin McCallum was very strong in midfielders. Tommy Walsh got a good goal into the first half. A lot of plus points from that second half, but like I said, it's better than it was, but all is not well in the world just yet either.
Yeah, to add another sporting cliche into the mix there, it really was a game of two halves. If you look at the kind of scoring, like, after about 25 minutes, you were looking at, I think it was, there's a difference of about 5 points between the teams. Cork had 3 points, Kildare had 2-2. And you're kind of looking at that after 25 minutes thinking, wow, this could get kind of dangerous for Cork here, especially Kildare have been so poor so far in the league themselves. So what were your thoughts kind of looking at that as the scores were going in from Kildare, with the goals especially?
Like I said, the first half was just, it just wasn't what this, like, it wasn't where this Cork team needs to be or what they want to produce. And John Cleary said as much after that, it's almost in the dressing room at halftime, it's like, Jesus, lads, we can't keep going like this. Like, something has to change. What was key for Cork is Tommy Walsh's goal just before halftime, because that gave Cork impetus going into the halftime break, and it narrowed the gap. All of a sudden, Cork were just 1 point down. It was 2-3 to 1-5. So they were right in a game where they hadn't played that well at all. And just for a very important context. And it's almost like there should be a Kildare-sized asterisk beside this result as well. Kildare were bottom of the table, or are bottom of the table, and have lost every game. So Cork weren't beating one of the top teams in Division 2. They're beating a team that is struggling for confidence and that just hasn't picked up a point in this league so far. So I think that's important to note, the quality of the opposition as well. So like I said, that Tommy Walsh goal gave Cork a fighting chance to get into halftime. And in the second half, Cork did take over, and it was a lot better. They just pulled clear of Kildare, and some good performances in there. So it's something to build on, and it's moving it in the right direction. And like John Hayes writes in his column in Towards the Southern Star, it offers some green shoots of hope. And I think that's all that Cork fans want right now, because what we'd seen in the games beforehand, it was disappointing, and it leaving fans disillusioned, because we'd seen the progress of 2023, but we were hoping that Cork would kick on this year, and we hadn't seen it just yet. But you'd hope now that back-to-back wins will help create a bit of momentum for Cork. And that's what John Cleary wants, because in any sport, momentum is important. Now Cork have two wins, and ahead of the trip to Mead, at least it puts them in a finer fettle, and with a lot better chance of staying up.
Yeah, and just finally on Cork's chances, kind of in the next few weeks, you mentioned that they probably need one more win. Is the Mead game the game that they realistically will be charging or targeting, considering how strong Armagh have been?
Yeah, Armagh and Donegal have been kind of two pace setters here, so they've been going quite well. So that's going to be quite a tough game for Cork when Armagh come to town in the last round. But then on the other hand, if Armagh have qualified promotion and all that, like, maybe they might just rest a few players before they head into the Ulster Championship, so that could work out in Cork's favour as well. There'll be nothing easy against Mead. That's okay, that's a game that Cork will target that they can win, and Cork need to consistently beat teams of the same standard that are in and around them, and that's what they haven't done in the league so far. Lost to Loud, lost to Kevin, you know, kind of their teams that Cork, if they want to take the next step, that they need to beat teams of a similar standard. So heading to Mead, it's going to be a tough away fixture, but that's a game that this Cork group will obviously target a win from. But it's a game you should say that they probably have to get a win from as well, because if they want to be serious about their aspirations going into the first of Sam Maguire series and in the hopefully the knockout stages after that, we need to see this Cork team beating teams of a similar standard. So the Cork footballers actually flown out on a training camp this week. They're went off on Wednesday to Portugal for a 4-day warm weather training camp. So hopefully the sun is shining there. Hopefully the weather is better than it's here, and they'll come back in fine spirits and ready to attack the last two games.
Yeah, we'll be chatting about Cork's remaining games on the podcast in the coming week. So keep tuned for that. We're going to take a very quick break now, and we'll be back to hear from Phil Healy.
The Star Sport podcast is brought to you by Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union, funding dreams for over 50 years.
And welcome back to the Star Sport podcast. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, Phil Healy is our guest this week, and she was part of an Irish women's 4x400 relay team who finished fifth at the World Indoor Championships on Sunday. They qualified for the final, Kieran, in a national record time of 3 minutes 28.45 after a stunning first leg by Healy, and it's great to see her back where she belongs, really, on an international stage.
100%. Phil is back and she means business, so this is brilliant last weekend to see on Sunday. Phil Healy put in two really strong runs for the Irish women's relay team. It's no secret, Dylan, that that Phil had her struggles in 2023 and even stretching back into 2022. And in fairness to Phil, she's been very open, honest and transparent about that in various interviews, and obviously with us here in the Southern Star, but on this podcast and in the paper over the last 12 months or so as well. But it's just great to see her come out the other side. And it's great to see Phil Healy racing for Ireland at a World Indoor Final, and she's earned her spot back in that relay squad, and she showed her worth to that team in both the heat and the final on Sunday. So it's just a really positive story, and it's just brilliant for Phil, because she's one of the most popular figures in West Cork sport, and she's been such a trailblazer for West Cork sport over the last decade, which is incredible to say. Like, she's achieved so much, and everyone around here is rightly so proud of what Phil has done. And I think the great thing about Phil Healy's story is that there is more to come. Like there's a small matter of another Olympics in the summer, and we could be looking at a two-time Olympian in Phil Healy, which would be a brilliant next chapter for her. So to see her back on the world stage and to see the Benin bullet firing again, yeah, that made my Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. And Kieran, just to add to her achievements, I remember last time I checked, Phil Healy was the guest who appeared the most times on the Star Sport podcast. I think she had 8 or 9 appearances, as opposed to, I think the closest might have been 6 or 7. So she's adding to her tally here again today. So she must be delighted. A brilliant week all around.
I suppose if you asked her which meant more, appeared on the Star Sport podcast again or racing in a world final, she'd obviously plump for the podcast. You know, kind of the podcast is like the mainstay of her sporting career over the last 4 or 5 years. She kind of world finals come and go, but the podcast is here forever. Is that famous cliche, Dylan, that we always hear? But no, it's almost a testament to the level that Phil Healy has been competing at over the last couple of years that we have run the podcast so often, because there's always a national title that she's won. There's a world championships, a European championships, like the Olympics back in Tokyo in 2021. And actually it was during COVID times, I think it was the European indoors final she got a couple of years ago. And I remember watching it at home, and it was one of the, were we still in lockdown or something like that? Or there was something going on. It was one of the best nights of COVID, of lockdown that I actually had, because it was just watching a local woman finish fourth, I think it was, in a European final. It was just incredible. So to see Phil back at this level again, that's brilliant to see. Like, and I think, like I was saying, what's exciting is that there is potentially a lot more to come in the months ahead. We're going to hear from Phil quite soon, and she's going to kind of lay out what it looks like. But there's that 4x400 women's relay team that has a strong chance of qualifying for the Olympics, which would be superb. And Phil will also be hoping to be in the mix for the 4x400 meter relay team as well. That's the relay team she was on at Tokyo that got to an Olympic final. So she has a couple of options to get to the Olympic Games, and she's also hoping to get there in an individual event as well. So there's it's going to be a busy couple of months for Phil Healy. But before we hear from her, she's also going to explain to her that she lost her measuring tape. So if there's anyone in Glasgow that has seen a measuring tape around the place, we just post it back to Phil Healy, Ballyneen Bullet, West Cork, and it'll find its way to Phil.
Absolutely. We'll keep an eye out for that online. And who knows, there might be some local people willing to help her out with future measuring tapes as well. We'll see. But that's enough from the two of us. It's time to hear from Phil Healy.
Phil, we're a couple of days on from the World Indoors. The Irish women's relay team finished 5th in the world. What an incredible performance on Sunday night. What are your thoughts now, a few days on?
Yeah, it was absolutely super for us as a team. Like, the world final was obviously the aim. We were 7th in 2022. We just missed the final by one spot, so we knew it was going to be really tough to qualify. There was 9 teams were selected to go to Worlds. 6 were obviously going to make the final. Our heat draw was absolutely stacked. Like, we knew USA and Netherlands were going to be medal favourites, and the Belgians are always in every single final, so that was going to be stacked. But we knew that if we gave it everything, the fastest loser spots were probably going to come from our heat. But no, I led the girls off. I suppose first leg isn't somewhere that I would usually be indoors. Usually I'm second leg or fourth leg. Same outdoors, I'm never the first leg. But for me, I actually enjoy the first leg, because it, to me, it's like running an individual 400. Sometimes I find it hard to judge of run the second, third or fourth leg indoors, because you're obviously running 2 laps. It's different to an individual. So no, I led the team off. I was very happy to do that and put them in contention. And then it was a nervous wait, waiting for that second heat to run. But we made it by 12 hundredths of a second. Every 100 matters, as you can see in this game. And to come 5th was unbelievable. It was so close to the national record again. And I think the aim for us was to go out and break that national record, because I suppose when we've raced, we always tend to break it in the heat, and then there's been a bit of a drift in the final, but we were so close to breaking it. Again, to come away 5th, it now shows that Ireland belong in these major finals as well. Like, we've gone to major finals every single year for the last few years, since 2021. and relays is the way to go. Our team was obviously so strong. It was a national record by 2.5 seconds. I think when we broke it 2 years ago, it was a national record by 4 seconds. So it just shows how much 400 meter running has come on in Ireland. It's obviously a massive year for us. We have World Relays there at the start of May, where we have to qualify for, that's our only opportunity to qualify for Paris. The top 32 countries in the world will be selected to go. We're well within that, but 14 of the 16 places for Paris come from World Relay, so everything is to play for there. It's an exciting few weeks. We obviously have European Championships later in the summer, and then fingers crossed, hopefully Olympic Games.
It's shaping up as such a busy year, touch wood, Phil, and to get it off to such a good start at the World Indoors. It just shows the potential within this Irish women's 4x400 relay team. But you mentioned there about running the first leg, and you're not used to that. Just talk to us a small bit about what's involved in running the first leg and what your role is for the team.
Yeah, because you need to put the team in contention at the break. So obviously you're breaking after 150 metres where everyone crosses in. So for me, I suppose I can use my speed in that regard. But as well, for me, I hadn't ran a 400 I think it was about 6 or 7 weeks. So there definitely was a bit of like doubts and voices in my head of like, okay, am I going to be able for this? Am I going to be strong enough for the team? And I actually got an invite to the individual 400 as well, which was on the Friday. But I turned that down to focus fully on the relay. And I'm glad I did, because I wanted to give everything for the relay, because it is a very important year for us in that. And then I suppose, as I said, yeah, it's putting the team in the best contention at the break, which is at 200 metres. And then holding your position and trying to clip off a few people, I suppose, as well, before you pass over the baton. And indoors is hard. It's argy-bargy. It's hard to pass out. The straights are short, and that's your only area to pass out. It's all to play for in that first 150 meters where you do have to make the break. And I suppose then when we come to the final, we were in lane two, so lane two was an awful lot tighter than lane four in the heat. But to put the team in fourth position at the bell is where I was aiming for. I knew the other girls were, number one, they were fresh, they hadn't ran the heats. So we were the only team that had the same four going out and running the final. To be at the bell in fourth position for the final was the aim, and that's what I did, and to hand it over then to Sophie as well in fourth.
How happy were you with your split times? I'm looking at him here. It was 51.93 in the heat, and I think it was 52.05 in the final itself. So fierce consistent. Yeah.
Absolutely. And even for the 52.0 in the final, that again is from lane two. So lane two is an awful lot tighter. So I would love to run an individual four, I suppose, in lane five or six now. But yeah, that was my, I suppose, two fastest times in one day as well that I've ever run, even in the individual. And I suppose sometimes there's a lot of focus put on splits, but the team need to perform collectively. Like I did my part, the other girls did their part. Splits can become a bit, I suppose, immaterial, but traditional leg split is always slow split because you are running from blocks, but I was very happy to do what I could for the team and be back out there, I suppose, as part of that Irish squad again, and looking forward to keeping my position over the next few weeks and on into the big summer.
You've been very open and honest in the last 12-18 months, Phil, about I suppose the challenges that you faced. So how good did it feel to be back in the Irish women's relay team and back in a world final on Sunday?
Absolutely super, because even if I rewind back to the summer, like I took myself off the squad for World Championships in Budapest because I didn't feel I was in the shape. I didn't feel I had something to offer the team. And I suppose that's hard at the time, but looking back, like it was a decision that I needed to make. So to be out there with the team again, the team is constantly changing. We all have to fight for our places all the time, which is great for, I suppose, women 400 meter sprinting in Ireland, that the team can change at any point. It's not concrete. But yeah, to go out there again, give it my all, be back to my best and enjoy it on the world stage, make a world indoor final. That's the first world indoor final that I've made. So that's something as well that I have to be thrilled for, being a part of that team, break the national record. It definitely felt good.
And it's a very powerful feel to be enjoying your athletics again.
100%, because athletics is a tough sport, like, and it's individual. You're training 6 days a week. It's 11 months on, it's 1 month off. I suppose people don't see the hard work that goes on behind the scenes, day in, day out, the travel, the hard work, the dedication, sacrifice, all of that combined. But for me, it's my norm, so I know no different. But absolutely, look, it's my job as such. Yes, I do have a full-time job at the side, but it's also, I suppose, my second job. And if people were in their own day job and they're not enjoying it, they know how hard that is. So it's the exact same thing. So obviously everyone loves when things are going well. Things aren't always going to go well, but when things weren't going well for such a long time, that was definitely very challenging. But we're on the far side of it now. I'm in a much better place mentally and physically. And I suppose it's important to, I suppose, highlight that as well, because as athletes, sometimes we think that we're like robots and we can keep going time and time after again. And the mental side of things is so important as well, because we need to look after ourselves in that regard. So it is important to realize that we're not someone that can just keep going all the time. We can hold our hands up and say, yeah, we are struggling here a bit, and get the support that we need and move on there from then.
You mentioned there about working a full-time job. How do you find juggling both full-time job and athletics?
Yeah, you know what? It's actually, for me, I enjoy it now. I don't think I could ever go back to full-time athlete. Yes, I would love, I suppose, the free time all the time. But work is very supportive. It's flexible as well. And I do like the distraction of going away from the track and going back to work, or finishing work and going to the track, vice versa. And I suppose for me, it's like coming to the later stage of my career. Like, I'm 29 now. Sport isn't going to last forever, and I suppose the last few years highlighted that for me as well, with the struggles that you can have. But my career is just as important as my sporting career. So, like, I didn't want to be like 32, 33, retiring from the sport, whatever age I do retire from the sport, and starting at the bottom of the ladder in my career either. So you're not going to make a fortune off sport in Ireland. So you do have to live a life, and you have to grow up as well at some time. So yeah, for me, it was, I suppose, having that balance, having that fallback, and developing my career at the same time, hand in hand with my sporting career, so that when I do retire, I can fully push on then with the actual career.
And you're not going to make a fortune in sport, nor that if you have to keep buying measuring tapes, Phil. I sent you a picture earlier in the week, and you could explain this to our listeners. There was a picture of you before, I'm not sure it was the heat or the final, but you had a measuring tape on the track with the blocks. Just talk us a small bit through that. And first off, where did the measuring tape come from?
Measuring tape has come from for the blocks. You have to have certain settings. So obviously you're trying to maximize the most you can get out of the block. So for me, I have my settings measured to a T, and I always use a measuring tape. And sometimes when you go to a major championships, you're not allowed to use a measuring tape, or you have to use a tape that's provided by them. So I just have a standard pull out measuring tape. I actually didn't get the measuring tape back after the final, so there was a trip to Badenoch there now yesterday to stock up with a new one. But yeah, it's something that I always have in the bag, because it comes down to this like centimeters of where your feet are actually placed in the blocks to get the angles right and different things like that. So yeah, I suppose that's another technical element that we always have to work on.
So in some meets, so in some events, you actually can't bring the measuring tape with you. Is it how would you set up the blocks then?
Yeah, so you can measure it by your feet as well. But like, so for me, like, it's like 2 and a bit, and on one side, and it's 3 and a bit on the other side. But like, that bit can be very different, you know, sometimes. So you just have to roll with it in that situation. But as much as I can, I have the measuring tape and keep it accurate. But I'd say team management at this stage are like, will you ever get rid of that measuring tape? Because they always have to go find out if they can actually, if you're allowed it or not. But there's plenty of other athletes that have it as well, across both Ireland and across the world at the competitions. I think it's just a thing athletes always have, and it's the way that we're taught as we grow up and how to set our blocks. But yeah, it's a statement in my bag anyway.
Let's put a shout out to the Bendon Co-op to send a box of measuring tapes over to Phil Healy, please.
That's it. Yeah. Stock up.
And like we're saying too, Phil, like, there's a very, very busy couple of months ahead. And you have the World Relays in Bahamas in the start of May, and that's the qualification event, like you said, to Paris. So what does the next couple of weeks and months look like for you?
Yeah, so for me, I have a down week this week, which is like gladly taken. But then I go back into training next week as normal. It's a full on, I think, 6 or 8 weeks before we actually compete again. So at the end of April, we go to Florida for a week. ahead of going on to the Bahamas, then for another week, where World Relays is. So that's the start of May, into April, start of May. And then May is going to be pretty full on racing wise. And the same with June, because end of Olympic qualification is June. So it's all to play for over the next few weeks. This is our only, I suppose, training block that we could actually get in now again, where things are clear, there's no distractions, and it's just back to hard work before it's a few weeks of intense travel and racing again.
And what will the squad look like in the weeks ahead? Obviously, Rashida Adeleke wasn't part of the squad the weekend, but does she come into the reckoning now? Like, I know there's a really good, strong squad there. And you made reference to the subs as well after the World Final the last day. Like, there was six of you over there. So what happens now in terms of selection for the World Relays?
Yeah, so the squad will stay pretty much the same. Anybody can race and earn their spot onto the team over the next few weeks. I'm not sure if Rashida will be in. We would obviously love to have Rashida in for World Relays and help us qualify. But even without Rashida, it shows what the team has done, both here at World Indoors this weekend, but also World Outdoor Championships last year as well. The team got to the World Final and they were the tiniest of margins, I think a tenth of a second off, breaking the national record as well. So yeah, it's going to be an exciting few weeks for everybody. There will be definitely people that were sitting at home this weekend and want to earn their spot for World Relays and will race over the next few weeks. So team management will have an interesting job to pick a team. I suppose six girls will travel to World Relays, but the mixed relay team as well for World Relay, so we're going to have the boys in there too, but it is an exciting few weeks ahead for relay running in Ireland.
We spoke in the last year, Phil, and you were making the point you'd love to become a two-time Olympian. Do you see the relay as your best ticket to Paris?
100% of the relay is everybody's ticket to Paris, and hopefully we can get the women's 4x4 there this time. Obviously we were in Tokyo with the mixed relay, so hopefully we can get there in both relays, but then individually the aim is always to qualify as well. So probably we'll focus more on the 200 come outdoor season, because I gained a lot of ranking points indoors. I'm currently within the ranking for Paris, so I suppose it's about maintaining that and pushing myself further up the board and staying healthy, staying enjoying the sport and working hard over the next few weeks. But it's all about the relay for now.
Before I let you go, I have to ask you about Charlene's disqualification from the 400-meter heat the last day. For kind of the casual athletics, it looked very harsh, because we've talked before about the argy-bargy of indoor running. What was your own thoughts on it?
Yeah, for the casual athletics fans, it's definitely very harsh, but for the actual athletes, it was very harsh too, and you would question your faith in the sport as well, because there was minimal contact there, and like, there was far worse that went on across the weekend and across other major championships when there's no disqualification. So like, it was extremely harsh on Charlene. It shows that she belongs in the World Final. She proved that in the relay as well, what she's capable of. For Irish support, we always want to see an Irish person in the final, but like, as an athlete that has ran individual 400s indoors across the last few years, I've been in races where far more has gone on and there has been no disqualification. So that was definitely extremely harsh. I suppose for all of us, it's an eye-opener of what can actually happen. But indoors, is you're always going to have argy-bargy, but it was appealed and it was counter-appealed, and unfortunately, the appeal wasn't accepted. But yeah, overall, it was a dampener on Friday, because she earned her spot in that World Final. It was a phenomenal performance, but we used that, I suppose, as extra hunger going into the relay to step up our game and give back and let Charlene be a World Finalist as well, walking away.
And Charlene, certainly, she put on a show as well on Sunday as part of that women's 4x400 meter relay team. So now, congrats again, Phil, and no doubt we'll catch up, touch wood, before you hop on that flight to Paris later in the summer.
Super. Thanks a million, Kieran.
The Star Sport podcast is brought to you by Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union, funding dreams for over 50 years.
Now, welcome back to the Star Sport podcast. And it's that time of the week once again, Kieran, where we take a look ahead at what is in this week's Star Sport, which obviously is already a must-buy considering the Next Generation feature.
Yeah, that's a given. 8 pages on the next generation. Well worth checking out, like we discussed earlier. We also have a 2-page special on the Cheltenham Festival that is on next week. And Sean Holland has done a brilliant job here finding and highlighting the local links to the Cheltenham Festival. So for anyone with any bit of interest in Cheltenham, you have to see this week's Southern Star, because Noel Feely from Copperine gives us his tips and fancies for some of next week's big races. So you're bound to pick up a couple of good tips in this piece. Sean Holland has also chatted to Paddy Butler, the local Timor League trainer who also plays at Argonne Rangers, and he has a horse running at Cheltenham next week. So that's a really good piece by Sean, chatting to the Paddy about Cheltenham, but even his journey and story in training. And also, Sean has a Q&A with Brian Hayes. He's a Ross Garbury jockey who had his first winner at the Cheltenham Festival last year. So Sean chats to Brian about what makes the Cheltenham so special and so unique, and about the pressures involved in it, and also looks for his top tips as well. So like I said, anyone with a passing interest in Cheltenham have to see this Thursday's Southern Star. Among the other highlights are Clonakilty Soccer Club are true to the Beamish Cup final. Bend it like Chris is what we're saying. Chris Collins got two superb free kicks for Clonakilty in their semi-final against Castletown last weekend. Also, the West Cork Rally is fast approaching. We have the latest on that. Robbie's quite busy at the moment. Sacred Heart Clonakilty are true to the Munster Girls Junior and Senior Rugby Cup Finals, and Clash the Purple Bantry are also true to the Junior Cup Final. So that's an all-West Cork affair there. We have a picture special from Castlehaven GA's big social last weekend, and also the Carberry Score had their Score in the Posh D and Score Shinshear Finals in Ballinascarty last weekend. We have all the news and photos from them. And there's even more. Jack Crowley is obviously going to take on England in Twickenham in the Six Nations this weekend. Seanan Cahillane had his first match as Castlehaven senior football manager. The Cork Ladies are on the brink of relegation from Division 1 of the league. We also want to wish the best of luck to Sacred Heart. Also want to wish the best of luck to Skibbereen Community School. Their senior A ladies football team is in an All-Ireland semi-final on this Thursday. They're travelling up the Laois to take on our ladies of Castleblaney. The Skip School won the Munster Senior A final last week. They showed Mercy Mount Hawk no mercy with a sensational third quarter surge. So the very best of luck to Skip Community School on Thursday.
Packed as always, extra packed I would say this week. So plenty to look forward to, and all that will be available in shops across West Cork from Thursday morning. And as always, if you're further afield or can't make it to the shops, you can subscribe to the Southern Star and get our e-paper on your laptop, tablet or phone. So just head to subscribe.southernstar.ie, enter your details, and you'll get an exact replica of the newspaper for less than €2 per week. And just before you finish, Kieran, I want to give a quick plug to next week's Star Sport podcast episode, which we'll be recording in Access Credit Union in Skibbereen. Access have been sponsors of the podcast for a long time, so we're doing an outside broadcast in there next week, so that's one to look forward to. And thanks again to Access Credit Union for their sponsorship of the podcast. And as always, thanks to the listeners for tuning in to the Star Sport podcast. If you've enjoyed this, please remember to rate, review and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll be back again next week. Thanks for listening.